Yeah, off and running on this, Wednesday night / Thursday morning. It is Gordon Damer with you here on The Fan, your overnight oasis, taking you up till 5 a.m., 5-plus hours. And the warm-up show, which will come your way then. Lots to do, plenty to talk about. Certainly want to hear from you. 888-808-1019, the telephone number. We got a lot of NFL stuff since the last time I've been on. The free agency tampering period has begun. The NFL free agency is here. The new league year is here. And isn't it amazing? And we'll get into it in the course of the show. But isn't it amazing? This might be the first time this has ever happened. But from what I've seen, every single team has done a masterful job. There's not been a single team that has made a mistake so far. This fan base is in love with it. That fan base is in love with it. Every single team has done nothing but hit home runs in free agency. It feels like that should get mentioned. I don't know that that's ever happened before in any sport. Every single team is hitting a home run when it comes to free agency. We'll also get into the Jets and Giants a little bit later on. But the Knicks go out tonight, get a win in Utah, beat the Jazz 134-117. So trying to salvage some things after a bit of a rough trip, really kind of all over the map, right? It opens up with that blowout win against the Nuggets, perhaps the Knicks' most impressive performance of the season. And then they follow it up with losses to the Lakers and the Clippers, and then they face off against the Jazz team. That's not they want to let the NBA know that they're not tanking. And you really do have to appreciate what the Jazz have done. Clearly, they are rebuilding, and they want to give themselves the best chances of, the ping pong balls, the lottery odds, whatever you want to say. So they got fined earlier in the year because what they were doing was they were sitting their starters in the fourth quarter. And they got fined. I think it was $50,000 they got fined. Maybe it was more than that. Pocket change, the Utah Jazz. So what did the Jazz do? How do they? Well, they just put all those guys out for the rest of the season, basically. And I don't know. It feels like they're making up some of the injuries. Because I looked to see why guys were sitting out for the Utah Jazz. Not that I really care, but like four of their starters are not playing. Jaren Jackson is out for the season. I believe he has a knee injury. All right, knee injury. That doesn't sound so. But it almost seems like Walker Kessler, I think he's the one that's out. Oh, no, Nurkic is out for the season with a nose injury. I don't think I've ever seen that before. A nose injury is going to keep you out the last 18 games of the season? Feels a little aggressive in terms of how many games you're going to sit out. Walker Kessler, I believe he's got uromycetitis. You don't want a case of that. Jerry Seinfeld had that one time. George had that in the parking garage, uromycetitis. And I'm pretty sure Lauri Markkanen, he is sidelined with sausage fingers. So, look, the Jazz have gone through a very difficult season. They've actually won a couple of games, but the Knicks go out tonight and give up 41 points in the first quarter, and you're thinking to yourself, guys, come on, let's get it together a little bit. You know, it's bad enough you're losing to the Lakers without LeBron and you're losing to the Clippers. You know, not that the playoffs are right around the corner, but you'd like to let's put some wins together here. And sure enough, in the second half, the Knicks finally kicked it in gear and put up 40 points in the third. They basically control things in the second half, and they go on for a 134-117 win. And, kind of looking at the box score and watching the game while we were getting ready here, the final line looks much better because they're facing off against the Utah Jazz, a team that is actively looking to lose games like so many teams in the NBA are. But, Jalen Brunson struggled again shooting the ball tonight. Now, it looked like even though they came in losses against the Lakers and the Clippers, after the Nuggets performance where he struggled and the Thunder performance where he struggled, it seemed like he was starting to kind of get back on track and then struggled again tonight. Now, the final numbers look a little better, finished with 28 points in 33 minutes, 7 of 16 shooting, and certainly did the job at the foul line, hit 10 of his 11 free throws, but just kind of something to kind of keep in mind as we move here a little closer to the regular season. It's still a little bit of a stretch here, before the playoffs get underway. We're looking to get to April as fast as we can if you're a Knicks fan. There's nothing to be learned from this team. I think we know what this team is outside of injury. That's the only thing that can pop up, I think, at this point over the final 17 games that's going to kind of concern you as a Knicks fan, because you know what this kind of team can be. And it feels like, especially on this road trip, the outcomes is a wide range of outcomes based on how they played against the Nuggets, which was the high point of the season, disappointing losses to the two LA teams. And that's kind of who the Knicks have been all regular season long. So maybe with a group that is going to be judged on how the playoffs go this year, maybe they are saving something. I hope so, that when the regular season is over and the playoffs begin, you're going to get a much more consistent, much more accountable type of performance night in and night out. And what's got me a little bit concerned, not really Eastern Conference, because again, I think the Knicks are the most talented team in the Eastern Conference. But you know, the fact that they, usually when you're a great playoff team, you've got the two superstars. And then everybody kind of feeds off of that. And with the Knicks, it's not really the two superstars. It's Brunson who's the superstar, and then who that second guy is. Now, it should be Karl-Anthony Towns, and in some nights it is, and Kat had another nice night tonight, 21 points, 8 of 13 shooting, hit three threes, had seven rebounds. But he's kind of fluctuated. Now, he's been better as of late, and maybe this is him getting ready for playoff time where he is going to be counted on, and maybe that will be the case. But, you know, with the Knicks, it's kind of, you know, one night it's Towns. One night it's OG. One night it could be Mikal Bridges. And the fact that it's kind of like a four, that generally should be a good sign that you've got more options in terms of offense. And certainly there's other guys, you know, the bench is big, Shamit's big, and all the guys they got there. But, you know, the fact that you're going in and it's not a clear-cut 1-2 does kind of concern me just a little bit. Again, I still think that the Knicks are the best team in the Eastern Conference. And as we always talk about, it's legally, I am required to say this on Sports Talk Radio, if the Knicks don't get to the NBA Finals this year, this season will be a failure. But tonight, they get another win, chalk it up, move along, and get closer to postseason time, which is how the Knicks season, any contender in the NBA, that's how your season is judged. You know, there's some teams that if they get into the playoffs, hey, great. You know, you're building up and you're building your team. You get into the playoffs, you want that progress every single year. Get into the playoffs, win a playoff round, get to the second round of the playoffs. The Knicks, they got to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. That's not good enough anymore. This is a win now team. And the ceiling for this group is still to be determined. But what the bottom line is for this group this year is clear cut. I don't think that there is a more clear cut goal for any team in New York this season than the Knicks. The only one you could possibly argue is the Yankees. But even then, like we've been saying about we got to get a World Series. Got to get a World Series. And the Yankees, since basically 2009, pretty much every single year, they're in contention. I don't know how long this group of the Knicks has together. You know, things change in a hurry, and you're going to have to pivot with a lot of guys who are making a ton of money. So that's why so much is riding on this season. Not just what came beyond, but came before it, but what's in store after this season is over. So if you want to talk about the Knicks, 888-808-1019 is the telephone number, 888-808-1019. But I guess where I wanted to start tonight was with the football. Because, again, every team has done an amazing, and the beauty of social media now is if you are a fan of whatever team, you probably can find some source somewhere who is going to paint a rosy picture for you. And fan bases, everybody's got an opinion nowadays, and everybody's got a microphone, basically. Everybody's got access to social media. So if you want to find positive news, thank God it's there. You don't have to worry about negativity anymore. But, you know, the thing that I do want to hit on, because I need your help. And over the course of these 5+ hours, I need the help of the Jet fam. Because what the Jets did, not overall, I think that they made some very good moves. And look, from where they're coming from, adding any NFL caliber talent is going to be an improvement, especially on defense. And they did a ton of that. And it wasn't like that they broke the bank or went out and signed guys to crazy contracts or anything like that. Everything is kind of stable, right? Yeah, I could see the motivation behind this move or that move or Minkah Fitzpatrick or this guy or that guy. All well and good. But at quarterback, I need your help because I'm not the only one confused. There are two very well-defined groups of Jet fans. And I don't understand either of them. I can't say that I agree with either one of them. The first one, when the news came down about Geno Smith, and it wasn't that much of a shock. Connor Hughes had it last week that this is the as things stand right now, it seems like this is the direction the Jets are going to go. And I would assume before too long, he had Geno Smith as being one of those options. And I'm assuming before too long, Carson Wentz is going to be the other one, right? The Jets are looking to add two veteran quarterbacks this offseason. So when that news first became official and the Jets made the trade to get Geno Smith, my timeline, my algorithm was flooded with Jet fans saying, hey, this is great. This is what we want to do. This is the plan to get the number one pick in the draft. This is clearly the path to get to be terrible again next year and to be able to get Arch Manning or whoever. Look, the fact that Arch Manning is the name, it's only because his last name is Manning. We don't know for sure that he is going to definitely. This is not like, some of the other Andrew Luck back in the day where it seemed like, oh, yeah, for sure that guy's going to be the number one pick, or even Trevor Lawrence with Jacksonville. I think there's still a lot to be decided of who that number one pick will be. But that first group of Jet fans, no, this is the sign. We're tanking for Arch. The big Arch is the march for Arch is on. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if that were the plan, that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me from the point of view of the people running the Jets. First off, can you afford to tank another season? Can you take your job and your job security and any guy, a head coach of an NFL team, a GM, this past offseason, we had 10 head coaches lose their job. Like, you can make the argument there's never been less security in an NFL head coach than right now. So can you afford to go another season of tanking? The other part of it is, if the Jets' plan is to tank this year and get the number one pick, and draft your quarterback in 2027. I would simply say, why did you need to make any changes? Why would you need to go out and get Geno Smith or Carson Wentz or anybody? Like, you already had a pretty foolproof plan of how to get the number one pick. You came up with this plan this past season, in the middle of the season, and you still almost got it. Right? Like, you have the second pick in the draft. And we would have to all be in agreement that halfway through the NFL season, if not before that, when they started 0-7, the Jets decided, when they traded away Sauce, they traded away Quinnen Williams, that their plan was, hey, we're going to get a bunch of draft picks, but we're not going to actively try to. And that's why they started Brady Cook all those games. So if the plan is to tank again, I would simply say, well, why did you need to make any changes at all? Certainly, why did you need to go the route of someone who already played here and failed here and was kind of an embarrassment here in Geno Smith? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So that's the one group. The second group is saying just the opposite. No, this is a really smart move. This was the Jets' best option at quarterback. To go out, you got Geno Smith for a song, swap of draft picks on day three. Who cares about that? You bring him in. He's had success in the league, not last year, clearly with the Raiders, but not that long ago. And if he can turn back the clock to maybe 3 years ago, well, then he'll be a far better option of what we had before. He's a stable quarter. And I would just say, but I understand that there were no good options, but you view that as your best option? So the plan here is to win games? Is that what you're telling me? Now, again, the benefit that the Jets had in going out and getting a quarterback this offseason was you couldn't do much worse than what you had last year, right? Between Justin Fields and Brady Cook, if that's the baseline, it's not hard to step over the line. It's not hard to reach that bar. The bar is lying on the ground. But I don't know that this is the improvement that you think it is. And not that you ever judge things by excitement level of the fan base, but how would any Jet, like the most optimistic Jet fan in the world, is going to try to sell you that this is an improvement that, again, it's not hard to improve, but how much of an improvement is it, even with all the names? And I was the first person to say, there are no good options. There are no options this offseason where you said of names that we kind of know that are available, not some secret thing that, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that guy was on the trade block. But of all the names, Geno Smith coming off the season that he had for the Raiders, that's the improvement? Is that the plan? Is the plan to actually improve and to go from the quarterback room you had, recognizing, hey, you know what? We have to win some games. And I would think that that's fair. You have to win some games next year. And the way you are thinking of improving the quarterback room in this critical year, too, for Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji is to pair up Geno Smith and Carson Wentz. So the plan is to improve? I'm very confused because I can't see that being the path forward either. The Jets have me in a real conundrum. I can't see them going out there and tanking again. And if they are, what's the point of doing anything? You had a pretty inside track to being the worst team in football again next season. But if the plan is to improve, I don't see how you're going to do it at the most important position with Geno Smith, and it's almost a certainty at this point, Carson Wentz.